Why is faith important? What's that?
Trust.
Trust. What happens if you don't have trust in your life?
You're always fearful.
You're always fearful. You're always questioning. You have some problems, don't you? If you're always questioning everything, never trusting anyone or anything, then you're going to live kind of a strange life. Actually, it's a life that we see a lot of people live. Faithfulness is very important in our lives. And faithfulness is like an apple. Okay? It's like an apple. Why is it like an apple? Is an apple good for you? Very good for you. Remember, an apple a day keeps the doctor away? They've actually said that that's actually pretty true. It's not that that keeps you healthy, and but it gives you a lot of good things for your body. It's a very good thing to have as a fruit in your body. It's easy to identify. Did you know that? Most people can say, that's an apple. Most people think that almost everything is an apple. If you're a kid. You ever notice that? Everything's an apple. Apple, apple, apple. Why is that? Because apples, you can have them young, you can have them old, but they're easy to identify. You have so many different brands, so many different brands. I don't know of any brands of apples, really. I mean, I guess you have Dole and a whole bunch of things like that, but you have types of apples. Well, do you know what? There are types of faith as well. There are. You have faith in people, which is different from your faith in God, isn't it? You have faith in things, which is different from your faith in people. So you have different types of apples, and they're easy to identify because some lead you to do certain things while others do not. Your faith in God is going to lead you to talk to someone and love someone, whereas your faith in an object is maybe not going to lead you to do that. Your faith in an object is going to say, well, I believe that this brake is going to work when I push it. I believe that this gas is going to work when I push it. But that faith is not going to lead you to talk to somebody. Faith is like that. and we're going to talk about this a little bit more later. What happens to apples if they're left out and cut? They turn brown. What is that called? Any science teachers?
Oxidation.
When an apple is left out, it turns brown due to oxidation. Now, if left unchecked, it will deteriorate. It will cause problems. We're going to talk about this a little bit later on. But the same is true with your faith. If it's left out, then it kind of withers away, has some problems. Okay. When I was 3 years old, I came across a personal experience that showed me what faith was. Let me give you the scenario. My family had moved to Texas for my dad to go to seminary. He had taken a job with a Chevrolet dealership as a mechanic, and that's one of the ways that he was going through seminary. Later on, he would pastor a church, and that would help him out as well. But we lived at this point in a rental house in the middle of a 1,000-acre ranch. I mean, in the middle of it. I mean, it was a driveway. We could hardly see the road from our house. Okay? It was a dirt road. We didn't have very much. And we had come to the very last part of our food. We didn't have any more food in the house. And I remember my brother and myself, my mom and my dad, we all knelt down and we prayed. We trusted that the Lord would provide. We didn't have any money to buy food. We didn't have any food. How are we going to get food? We prayed. That was the first experience that I had with faithfulness. Now, as a three-year-old, sure, I know what prayer is. I pray all the time, right? God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. But that was my first experience with faithful prayer. That was also my first experience with God answering a prayer. When we got up from kneeling, we saw a cloud of smoke, of dust at the end of our driveway. And it got closer and closer and closer until we realized it was a car that was coming up our driveway. And the car was a car of some friends of ours. And they were bringing 2 50-pound sacks of potatoes. And they had their fishing poles and they said, let's go get some fish. And so for about a week and a half, we had fish and potatoes. That was my first experience with how God rewards faithfulness. Did he have to give us fish and potatoes? No. Why did God give us fish and potatoes? Because we asked. We asked. Do you know the Bible talks about the fact that God is a loving God? It's not that he gives you everything you want, because you never learn if he just gave you everything you wanted. What he does is he shows us that he loves us and allows us to ask. Jesus said, you don't receive because you don't ask. And then when you do ask, you ask in the wrong way. We need to ask from a faithful and true heart, knowing that our Father loves us. Like again, I've said this before. I'm not telling you to go and say, Lord, I think I need a new Corvette. Can I have a new Corvette? That's not exactly a need, is it? I mean, come on. That's not a need. What did Jesus promise? Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and he will take care of your needs. You say, well, that's not exactly. And all this will be added to you. What was all this that he was talking about? Look at the sparrows. Do they sow? Do they toil? Do they do all these things? No, they don't. But yet your Father takes care of them. Look at the flowers. They are so well dressed. Do you think they have to spin and work for that? No. Your Father takes care of them. If he takes care of them, don't you think he would take care of you? Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. Seek first the things of him that would make a difference in this world. And he will take care of all the rest. All of this will be added to you. That's what he was saying. Faithfulness is essential. It is by faith that you are saved. If you don't have faith, guess what? You have a problem. And if you have faith in God, why in the world would you act like the pagans, the heathen, that run around and try to do everything themselves instead of relying on God? You see our little paradox here? If you don't have faith, then you can't have salvation. And if you do have faith, why would you act like you don't? Those are two very good questions. If you say, well, I have faith because I have salvation, then do you act it out in your life? Or do you act like everybody else? Faithfulness is essential. And faithfulness is an active response to God's faithfulness. Do you realize that? God's faithful to us, isn't he? How many of you this week found God faithful to you? I did. I found God incredibly faithful to me this week. Why is that? Because he is a faithful God. Amen. He is a loving God. He is a caring God. He is a just God. He's a faithful God. What he says, he does. We are faithful out of response to him. Just the same reason why we love. We love out of response to his love. Everything we do should be in response to him. And yet so many times, it's not the case, is it? We tend to walk out these doors and we get into our car and we go, oh man, I got to do this now. We wake up on Monday morning, oh no. And you know what? I found myself doing that this morning. Do you realize that? That's my confession to you. I found myself going, oh man, now. And I realized, oh, whoa, I can't do that. I can't do that because my God's faithful. I don't serve a God that's going to say, good luck with that. You know, I see you in need, but I'm not going to help you with that. I don't serve a God who said, here, I'm going to create everything and then have fun. No, my God Do you know what he did? He created everything. He made it where it all is sustained. And then he watched as his creation rebelled against him. And he went, tell you what, guys. I'm going to start a plan right now. You may not understand it, but you will. One of these days, my plan will become in sight. And here's my plan. I'm going to work all of these things out so that I will walk among you. Do you realize that? That was his response to our rebellion. I'm going to come down there and walk among you and show you how much I love you. That's my God. He walked among us in order to show that he was actually loving us. His faithfulness causes me to be faithfulness. What should our response to him be? Faithfulness, right? So he's faithful to us, so we are faithful to him. What is our response to him? You get a bill you didn't expect. What's your response to him? Your kid comes home with some pretty bad news. What's your response to God? You have a car problem. You have a medical problem. You've got all sorts of these things. What's your response? Are we faithful? Do we remember that God is faithful? See, people, this is where we start to struggle. This is where it starts getting real. You know, it's all great and good to be here in this building and in the safety and the confines and say, oh yes, faithfulness. I want to be faithful. I will be faithful. And then we go out into the world. And what happens? Something happens all the time. That's where our faith is tested. And you better be ready. If you're here this morning, like many of us, it's rainy outside, it's been a long week, and you're going, yeah, faithfulness. Yeah. Mm-hmm, faithfulness. Got it, preacher. Good. Good to go. It's not it. You're missing the point. Faithfulness is not a sleepy subject. Faithfulness is not one of those things you say, yeah, good to go. Faithfulness is a wake up. It's coming. You better be ready, because I can guarantee when you walk out that door, you're going to be hit with something. Faithfulness is, you better have your armor ready and on and prepared. Be alert. Don't be asleep in this world. I shared with some of you, actually I've shared with a lot of you, something that I learned, that it was from a secular teacher, it was in a secular class, but I realized that it holds a huge spiritual meaning. Here's what it was. We have 5 different states of mind in our lives. 5. And they run through a little color gambit. Starts out with white, and then it goes to orange, or yellow, then orange, then red, then black, okay? This is the way it was explained to me. A white state of mind. A white state of mind is oblivion. Nothing's going to happen to me. I'm just going to live my life and something happens. You go, oh, I can't believe that happened. Where did that come from? That's the white state of mind. Oblivion. Okay, you're in the white zone. You have no idea. You're not looking around. You're not seeing things. You're not preparing. You're in the white zone. Okay? Then you got these 3 in the middle. You got yellow, orange, and red. The yellow is you're aware. You're looking around. You're aware. The orange is you have a plan. Okay? And then the red is you have a response. So you want to be in those 3 colors. Yellow, orange, or red. You are looking around, you're aware, you have a plan for when something happens, and then you respond when it happens. That's where you want to be. In one of those three, because either something's not happening to you, but you are looking around. Either something, you know, Satan's not attacking you right now, but you're ready. Or he is attacking you, and you have a plan. Or he is attacking you, and you are actively engaged in the plan that you've already thought about. That's where we need to be. Now, the black zone, the black state of mind is this. I'm just going to respond. I'm just going to react to whatever happens. Don't plan about it. No, just our gut instinct, right, guys? You know, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll just do it when I get there. We have that kind of, you know, don't read the instructions. Just fix it as it comes, right? Guys, we tend to have these gut reactions a lot. And I want to tell you something. Although God has given us some pretty good minds, pretty good gut reactions, sometimes we're not as prepared as we should be. That's why the black and the white state of mind is not a good place to be. Unaware and just responding as it comes. You need to realize that this world is a dangerous place. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to make you aware. This world is a dangerous place. This world has some bad stuff in it. You know that. And for us as Christians to say, you know, I don't need to worry about any of that because none of that's going to happen to me. Read the book of Job. Okay? Seriously. We're not completely sheltered here. Okay? Why would God allow us to not be completely sheltered? We are in His protection, yes. We are in His love, yes. But there are two reasons why things happen to us. Either we go away from His protection, in other words, we stop being faithful, or God says, I want to grow you. So I'm going to allow some things to happen in your life. I'm not doing them to you. I'm going to allow, and I'm going to put a limit on how much. But I want you to grow. And that's where our faithfulness grows. So did you catch that? It all has to do with your faithfulness. Either you're not being faithful and you've completely gone away from the protection that God has given to you, and you're saying, I'm just going to do my own little thing out here, and oh, but I'm a Christian. I go to church, and therefore nothing bad's going to happen to me. Or you're saying, Lord, I'm devoted to you. You are all that there is for me. I'm faithful. I want to grow. I want to learn. I want to be with you. And he says, awesome, child. And here's a way that I'm going to grow you. It's not always going to be like this. This is a temporary thing. But right now, I'm going to allow you to have your faith tested a little bit. Realize that I love you. Realize that I'm with you. Realize that I'm not doing this to you, but I am going to allow you to go through this because I know that you can make it. I know that you're worth it. A lot of people lose their faith. A lot of people lose their faithfulness during those times because they don't know what's going to happen. I want to share with you something. Faith has to be active. Faith has to be used. Remember those apples, the oxidation that was taking place. Does anybody know how to prevent oxidation?
Huh? Acid.
Lemon juice. Acid. That prevents some of that. It, not completely, but it does help stave off the oxidation another way.
Eat it.
It's actually a good point, and we'll come back to that in a second. So you got lemon juice, eat it.
Vacuum.
What?
Vacuum.
Seal it up somehow where the oxygen can't be in there. Any others? Cook it. Okay. There are a whole bunch of different ways to keep it, but I will tell you the truth. What happens is this. You can add things and you can do things to it and whatever, but eventually that apple will decay. You realize that, right? I can cook it, I can put it in lemon juice, I can put salt on it, I can dry it out, I can do whatever, but it will decay. It will. I cannot stop it. The only way to stop it from decaying is eat it and get another one. It's the only way. Think about that for a second. Faith is like that. We can put a Bible study and, you know, try to add things to it. Go to the Bible study and go through this, and we go through this class, and we can add all these things to our faith. Or we can change it around a little bit and do some different things. We can add, we can subtract, we can do this, we can do that. But the only way that faith is going to grow and not decay in your life is if you use it and keep on going. That's a huge thing for people to realize. You've got to use your faith. You've got to. It's not another Bible study you need. It's not another song or a worship service that you need. It's not this or that. You need to use it. That's the only way to grow. And most people don't realize that. They think that what they need is just another service, just another this, just another that. That is the whole point of us actually doing something with our faith so we can grow. You ever wonder why there are four steps in our process of becoming a mature disciple? We have worship service. We have the Bible study. We have fellowship among believers. But what is that fourth one? Why is that so important, that ministry? Because that's where you're used. Do you know how important it is for you to be used, for you to exercise your faith? It's so vitally important. So vitally important. I want you to look at Hebrews 11:1 real quickly. This is the beginning of what's called the chapter of faith, a faith chapter. A lot of heroes of the faith mentioned in this chapter. I urge you to go through it and look at them. And don't just read Hebrews 11. Go back and look at their stories. But Hebrews 1 tells us something. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. If you're one of those who underline things in your Bible, that's a good verse to underline. If you're one that memorizes, that's a good verse to memorize. If you want something to have a devotion on each day, go through chapter 11. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Close your eyes for a moment. Everybody, close your eyes just for a moment. Just a little illustration here. Close your eyes. Are you sure that I'm standing up here? How do you know if your eyes are closed? You can hear my voice. Do you know? You can open your eyes. Do you know that you are sure that I'm here because I was here just a second ago? Right? People don't just vanish. You hear me talking. That's the way it is with faith. Do you realize the Bible says that to the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years is like a day? That means that His time frame is a little bit different from ours. That means that He expects us to have faithfulness a little bit longer than a day. Right? He expects us to look back at what His Word teaches us. He expects us to actually remember these things and learn from them and let them be used in our lives. Do you know what that means? That means that we need to know it and understand it so that we can apply it in our lives. How do you apply something like that in your lives? Is God here? The Bible says He is. Does God love us? The Bible says He does. Does He have a plan for us? The Bible says that He does. You know what that means? We should never doubt it. Now that's a big statement. Doesn't mean that doubts won't come. Doesn't mean that questions won't come. And it doesn't mean that we say, oh no, I'm someone horrible. No, these things are normal. But what I mean is this. When doubts come, when questions come, you go to the source. What does the source say? Throughout the history of Israel, what happened was this. They would have God show to them what they needed to do. And they said, yes, Lord, you read it. Yes, Lord, we'll do what you want. We'll always obey you. We'll never turn away. And it's like, boom. Hey, look over here. Here's this idol. This is a really... And they started worshiping other idols. Worshiping other false gods. And God said, oh, come on. I just told you. You just said. And so God would bring punishment on them. And they would go, oh no, what have we done? And they would come back to the Lord. And it seems like it was just every other day. If you read it, there were generations. It was a generational thing. But do you realize that we do that today? Our faithfulness ebbs and flows more than the Israelites did. That's hideous. Our faithfulness should be constant in our lives. And yet, the littlest things cause us to say, well, maybe God doesn't really love me. Maybe God doesn't have a plan for... Maybe He's not in control. The littlest things. Faithfulness has to be active. There was a guy, he was involved in a flood. And the flood water started coming, and of course he scrambled up to the second story, and he went out, and he was up on the roof, and he started praying, Lord, Lord, please, please save me from this. Please get me out of this. This boat came by. Said, hey buddy, come on, hop on. No, I can't, because the Lord is going to save me. I have faith in Him. So he kept on praying. Another guy comes by. Buddy, you got to get up here. The waters are getting close to you. You got to get out of this. Hop in the boat. No. I've been praying. The Lord is going to deliver me. Waters got right up to him. Helicopter came by. Hey, sir. We're going to throw down a rope. Climb up. No, I don't need it. The Lord's going to protect me. He's going to save me. Next thing he knows, he's in heaven. And he says, God, what's the deal? Why didn't you save me? Gave you three chances, God replies. Three chances, and you never took it. Do you realize we do that a lot? Not that immature, but we sit there and we go, Lord, help. And he says, okay, I'll help you. Do this. Do that. And what do? We say, there's got to be a better way. Faithfulness has to be active. We've got to be active in our lives in doing what God has said. I want you to realize that faithfulness is essential. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We walk in faith. Do you realize that? And His Word illuminates our path. Now, how many of you have ever been out really, really, really dark places? Okay? And now, flashlights are nice because they can shine really far. How many of you have ever been in a really dark place with just a little lantern? It's kind of an intimidating situation. You have a light that's pretty much right around your feet, or if you hold it up, you may be able to see about 12 feet. You can't see very far. And the farther out it gets, the less you see. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Do you know what that means? That means that our faithfulness that we walk by, His word is going to show us just right around us. It's not going to show us 10 years down the road. He's going to show us right here. He's going to illuminate our next step. So many of us are paused in mid-step going, I'm not sure if I need to step down here or not. You know what? Step. Because you're not going to see the next step until you take that first one. And here's the thing. If you're walking by faith, not by sight, if you're walking in the Spirit of God, you've got to step. That's what it means to walk by the Spirit of God. To actually take the steps and go. Here's the awesome thing. And I mean, this is really awesome. As you start to take step by step, you know, at first it seems kind of weird because you really are kind of stepping one step at a time very carefully. And some people may look at you and go, okay, why are you acting this way? Because I want to be careful. I want to make sure that I'm doing what God wants. But here's what happens. After you're used to it, after you are used to really getting in God's Word and stepping by faith, you actually start walking. And not just little steps. Sometimes you're running because you realize that God has something for you and something to do with you. And that's where we need to be. That's our goal, to not simply be walking like we're on a tightrope, but realize that God helps us walk better in faith as we walk. But how do you walk? How do you run? How do you jump? You have to start with a step. Just take that step of faith. For some of you, that step of faith may mean doing some things you are very uncomfortable with. You're kind of scared about. Some people need to quit a job. Some people need to take a job. Some people need to talk with someone that they haven't talked with in years. Some people need to stop talking with some people. Some people need to actually say, Lord, I want to start. I've trusted you, but I have not started walking with you. I want to start. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that needs to say, Lord, I don't think I've ever trusted you. And I realize I can't walk with you if I haven't trusted you. You see, all of these are ways that God helps us walk in Him. And we need to do that actively. Would you bow your head for a moment? As you are bowed, I want to ask you this question. Are you walking by faith? Simple question. Are you walking by faith? That can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. To the person who's never trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that could very easily mean, have you even trusted Him? To the one who has gone away from what God has really wanted for your life, you know what that says to you? You need to come back and start walking. Are you walking by faith? In just a moment, I'm going to give you a chance to respond. And I want you to realize that this time is not a time in which you should just simply say, hey, it's almost over. This is a time in which you should say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I walk by faith more effectively? Father, as we look to you, we pray that you help us walk by faith, not by sight. Help us to respond in the way that would give us your will, that would help us follow you. Lord, we pray that your will is done. It's in your name we pray. Amen.